Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hey, hello. How's everybody doing tonight? I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, in this time, on a Thursday night, on a nice, easy breezy evening in October the 16th, you're listening to the FSP Crew Show. I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, and the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff. And maybe we got a chat room that's always open for you. Ask a question, make a statement, or comment. Do what you do in that chat room. What you put in it, like I say, what you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. But without further ado, since I've gone through all the necessary things to get this show started, let me bring in my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, commonly known as the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It's week 7. Week 7 in reality and in fantasy of the NFL season. And this season, to me, is flying by, man. The weeks are adding up pretty quickly. I don't know how you think about that, but in my opinion, we're in week 7 right now. I know we got 10 weeks in the NFL reality season and probably 9 weeks left in the, including the playoffs in the fantasy season. But week 7, this is crazy, man. I would either I'm getting old or whatever, or I've been asleep, but week 7 is pretty quick already.
Yeah, it seems like I drafted just yesterday.
Yep. All right, let's get to it. I don't even know where to start, man, because there's a few things that that are going on. Let me go and talk to this. Let's talk about this first, because we had one high-profile quarterback and player get unceremoniously kicked out of school, kicked off the team, and now up pops the former Heisman Trophy winner with the same company that supposedly the guy from Georgia had been associated with, and supposedly he's supposed to have autographed 2,000 items, 950 signed, certified, I should say, signed or authenticated signatures from the same, supposedly from the same company, claiming that Jameis Winston, for those who don't know who I'm talking about, who can't seem like he seems like the new and improved version of Johnny Manziel. Let me put it that way. He seems like, if you thought Johnny Manziel couldn't keep out of trouble, this guy takes it to another level. Your thoughts, Jeff? This guy, I don't know.
You know, I can't figure him out. He's supposed to be a good student. He's not a dummy, but I was thinking maybe he had some kind of learning disability. I don't know, maybe attention deficit or something. But, you know, he continues to use very poor judgment. And believe me, he's already hurt his draft status because, especially a quarterback, you don't want to have to deal with that type of personality in the NFL.
That's true. That's true. And a, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm looking it up right now because I should have looked it up before. I'm right. Herschel Walker tried to, I guess, talk to this guy, and he kind of blew. I think it was Herschel Walker, or maybe it was Bo Jackson. It was one of them. Tried to talk to him to give him a heads up on what he's doing, and the guy kind of supposedly blew him off. And it was Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson tried to talk to this guy, who knows when. He reached out to him, and Bo Jackson said this. Let me give a quote here. He said, "I'm done trying to help Jameis Winston." Now, Bo Jackson is not the kind of guy. He's a pretty low-key guy, from what I understand. He he seems like the guy. He lets people be themselves. But when he thinks he should step in and talk to somebody, he does that. This is a quote from Bo Jackson. "I'm the type of person that will go out of my way to help anybody. Normally, I don't like giving people advice if I haven't been down that road myself. But if I give you advice on something that I know more about than you by just falling out of bed in the morning, if you can't take that advice and learn from it, then I've got nothing else to do with the situation. You're on your own." I mean, you know, like I said, some of these kids, they get pampered, get adulation and praise and get put on a pedestal early in life, and get, for lack of a better word, enabled from Pop Warner, high school, and now in college, and get so hung up in their press clippings to think that they're indestructible and untouchable by the law and anybody else. And it's unfortunate because you can see the handwriting on the wall that this guy's high up in the air. He's on the last rung of the ladder, or next to the last rung of the ladder, and he's reaching to the left or the right. His balance is shaky, and if he doesn't do the right thing or pull himself back, he's going to fall off and have a tremendous fall. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, like I said, I don't get Winston, and sometimes when these college players get in trouble, it gets a little distorted, you know. But I mean, this guy, you know, shows a track record, and you know, with NFL teams, I think even if somebody has a bad track record in college, even if it's for minor stuff, it shows, you know, immaturity and irresponsibility, because a lot of those guys, you know, they still make it in the NFL. They might not get drafted as high, but then they just keep making bad decisions. Thing is, I mean, the rules aren't as strict in the pros. You don't have to worry about getting paid for signings and whatnot. And if you know, you separate it from everything, it's not a big deal. But the thing is, it could cost him his eligibility. It could cause the team to forfeit games. So that's the bad thing about it.
All right, let me bring in my other esteemed co-host from the nation's capital, talking about Mike Wright. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, Black. Hey, Don.
Going all right.
That's good. We're, right now, I don't know if you heard how much of the conversation, but we're talking about the next quarterback on the hit list. To look like he's going to be a habitual Johnny Manziel-er, if I can say it like that way, not getting it, and constantly in trouble. I mean, let me just document this before I talk to you. Since April, crab legs, okay, offensive and vulgar comments on campus, getting paid for signing autographs is the recent one, and also FSU has announced that the code of conduct investigation into an allegation that Winston raped a university student in 2012 will be heard by an independent arbiter. What in the black? Talk to me. Is this kid in trouble, especially going into the NFL and being drafted high, at least in the top 10?
You're talking about Famous Jameis? I believe Famous Jameis is untouchable, man. Every month they come up with something new, and he's still playing football. He's the tough line down to Florida State right now. He's a young kid, man. He's immature. He's a lot of things that you don't need to be being a Heisman-winning trophy quarterback for a national champion. But, you know, what can you say, man? What is he, 20 years old? Eventually, he's going to have to sit down and learn from these mistakes, and that might come when he's off in the league.
Well, I already talked to Jeff. I think you probably missed it. Now, a well-respected guy that was a dual threat, meaning he played baseball and football, and a really stand-up guy, in my opinion, Bo Jackson reached out to him, and he kind of rebuffed him. I'm talking about Jameis, kind of like blew him off. And Bo Jackson said he's done with him. He's through with him. He got nothing to do more with him. He tried to talk to him, and he, I guess, the kid – said more or less, thanks, but no thanks, I know it all. What's your thoughts on that?
Hey, I mean, Bo Jackson, I mean, these young guys don't listen to the OGs. They're in a whole other world. They think it's all about them, and it's all about the right now. So, of course, he wouldn't listen to Bo Jackson. He probably wouldn't listen to Deion Sanders. He's probably one of the most famous Florida State announcers. If you didn't see Deion reach out to him, I don't know why Bo even wasted his time trying to reach out to him. These young guys think the world is theirs, man, so there's really nothing too much they can do. We just got to see how it plays out. Todd Gurley, they still haven't came to an agreement. Georgia hasn't even applied for reinstatement yet for Todd Gurley, so who knows how that situation will play out in Georgia. But the thing with Jameis, man, he's just a young guy. Just a young, immature guy, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm thinking this, Black. How many times you got to do some stupid things before you smarten up? How many times you got to really jeopardize your college career and your chance to get paid big time in the NFL by doing dumb stuff that will cause you your stock to drop versus being the number one pick or within the top five going to the bottom half of the draft, which is a great possibility if you keep screwing up like this. How many times is it going to take you for whoever has your ear to tell you, cut this stuff out, you're jeopardizing getting paid millions of dollars?
I don't know. He's 20 years old. He's 20 years old at the end of the day. You got to remember back when you was a young guy, how many mistakes you made, man. They're putting too much on him. He needs to own up and have responsibility for his actions, but he's a young guy. He's probably like, hey, if they don't want me in football, I'll go play baseball. That's the blessing of him being a two-sport star.
Yeah, but the issue is this. Who's going to take you, regardless of what sport you play, if you keep on screwing up like this when it's quite naturally simple fix, simple stuff. This is dumb stuff. Stealing crab legs, jumping on a table in the middle of a cafeteria and shouting some offensive and vulgar comments, getting in a situation and I almost can visualize being in college. And
I hear the point you're making. But at the end of the day, there are child beaters in the NFL. There are women beaters in the NFL. There are some Victor Trellis in the NFL, to which Jameis Winston is not. So I don't think his stock will go down too much.
Well, that's one of the things that this independent arbiter is going to look at about the code of conduct investigation into his rape, alleged rape at the university. And that's what I was talking about. I can almost envision what happened in that situation. Drinking at a college party, whatever. He's underage drinking. I forget how old the alleged victim was. And one thing led to another. She was probably drunk out of her skull and really didn't know what was going on until it was probably too late. He probably laughed it off because he got some, and she got pissed off, or not pissed off, but she got upset because of what happened. And the authorities down there, because he was a huge star, you know how it is, looks like they brushed it off and tried to protect their conquering hero from the Florida State University. So he's got a lot of things going on right now. Besides this independent arbiter, now he's got this thing that could possibly push him out of college football, make him ineligible completely. And he's only in his second year. So, you know, he's got to finish his second year before he can even apply to the NFL. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. It bothers me when I see a kid like this with all the ability in the world and not have the common sense to deal with it. It bothers me when it's so obvious. And the handwriting is on the wall. Stop the stump, dumb stuff. You can see it written on the wall or chalkboard or whatever. Stop the stump, dumb stuff. You're going to get paid millions if you do. And he keeps doing the dumb stuff. And that counter, that million-dollar counter, is constantly counting down because that his stock in the draft will drop. And every time it drops, it costs him millions of dollars. And you got to be an absolute, in my opinion, moron to not realize that and still keep doing the same stuff, dumb stuff. It boggles my mind because, you know, after this year, he's out of there, just like Johnny Manziel. 2 years in college, I'm out of here. As long as I don't kill somebody, I can get into the NFL. But the more dumb stuff you keep doing, the less money that you're going to get when you don't maximize your ability to get in the league at the highest possible premium. You that's stupid. That absolutely makes no sense to me. I don't know if anybody wants to comment.
It might be on the short bus. You never know.
If he's on a short bus, let me put it this way. If he's on a short bus, the head coach, the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, any other coaches that coaches kid should be put immediately in the College Football Hall of Fame because coaching a guy that's been on a short is eligible for the short bus and have him play the way he has played and look like a absolutely I would say genius, but a absolutely great quarterback. Is he just a great college quarterback? How's he going to react when he gets into the league and gets all that money? That's the scary part. You ever thought about that? How is he going to react when he finally gets into the league? He doesn't have the restrictions that he would have in college. He's out on his own. He's getting paid big bucks. How many dumb things he's going to do? With him being the face of the franchise, with $1 million and no restrictions, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess Black didn't hear it earlier in the show. I swear, I heard he's a good student. You know, he's not a dummy from what I've heard, but he uses very poor judgment. But you know, the thing is, especially now, you know, an NFL team doesn't want to invest in a guy like that, especially a quarterback, because you know, when you got to suspend a guy during the season, it could kill the team. And you know, he might come out after this year, but you know, I think you know, it'd be like I don't know, maybe a Terrell Pryor. I can't see anybody using a first round pick on Winston. And, you know, Hoyer is playing great in Cleveland, and supposedly Hoyer's playing hard, wants to play hardball with the Browns because he doesn't want to re-sign with them for backup money and having to deal with the threat of Manziel taking his job. Hey, you know, good for Hoyer. You know, he worked hard to come back from the knee injury, and he's been playing great.
Hey, yeah, Hoyer can leverage that and go to New York if he wants to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think that if he doesn't sign with the Browns, that there's a possibility he may come to the New York football Jets that are playing tonight against New England?
I don't know if they'll be playing tonight against New England. I think they're taking the field against New England. Plan is a whole nother story.
Okay. All right. Let's move to this. And I just read about this. I'm going to read it again. The NFLPA president, Eric Winston, got a little ticked off today about a comment that Ron Rivera said about a Calvin Benjamin. I don't know if you guys heard this. At his coach's press conference yesterday, Rivera said that Calvin Benjamin had a mild concussion. And Winston took exception to that. Quote, you don't have a mild concussion. You either have one or you don't. Now, and Rivera came back with a quote saying, I didn't say he didn't have a concussion. What I said was based on what the doctors told me. While there are degrees of concussion, the increased sensitivity brain injuries has prompted many to cringe when hearing any concussion dubbed mild. But that doesn't mean that the mild concussions never happen. For Benjamin and any player with a concussion, the key word isn't mild or moderate or severe, but concussion. And Rivera went on to say, and I quote, he's in the concussion protocol. He's being treated like everyone else in the concussion protocol. And that's true. Doesn't make a difference whether you have a mild concussion or supposedly diagnosed a mild concussion up to a severe concussion. You still go through the same protocol. So I want to put this in it before I get you guys to comment. He just happened to do this on the same day comments emerged from Bengals coach Marvin Lewis, inexplicably suggesting that concussions now linger longer because of the media, not because coaches no longer have the power to clear to play. Now, quite naturally, you know, presently, the doctors will decide when a player with a concussion can return, whether it's a mild or the worst type of concussions. So, your thoughts, Black? How can Marvin Lewis come out and say something stupid like that? I don't get it. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars, and they say some of the dumbest stuff. Now, I like Marvin Lewis as a coach, but come on, man. That's stupid. Talk to me, Black, and I'll go to Jeff.
Hey, I don't know what Marvin Lewis, he probably was joking around with the media and they ran with it, but I mean, I don't know. I've had a concussion before. I wouldn't exactly call it a mild concussion, but I think concussions are concussions. Those things mm-hmm. might be off for a little while, man.
Jeff, your thoughts?
I was more surprised that he didn't speak out on the Devontae's Burfict foolishness during that game.
We'll go to that after we talk about that. That's one reason why I mentioned Marvin Lewis. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised, but it just goes to show you, people who you think are pretty smart sometimes put their foot in their mouth or they don't know everything. And still, a lot of people need to learn more about concussions.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That boggles my mind that he would say something like this. Let me go back to the Cincinnati Bengals, not Marvin Lewis, but Vontaze Burfict, who was accused of twisting people's ankles after he tackled them and doing some other and had a pair of illegal hits that got him a fine of $21,000. $25,000. I'm sorry. For doing that on Cam Newton and Greg Olsen. Now, he already had the pair of $21,000 fine for illegal hits that he's racked up already, and now he's racked this up when he's twisting people's ankles after the play. You know, when you know that Cam Newton's got problems with his ankles and you tackle him, and then you start twisting them after you tackle him, you know, you can say it's part of the game, but, I mean, come on. Obviously, it wasn't because he got a $25,000 fine out of it. And he happens to lead the team in penalties this year. And he's only played one full game. This is what, week 7? They had a week bye, 1 week bye in week 4. So they played, what, 6 games leading up to now, and he leads the team in penalties. And he's only played one full game. Talk to me, Jeff. Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised. I mean, I thought that kind of stuff usually happens in pile-ups. It's not usually that blatant. You know, guys have been fined for lesser things.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Black? Vontaze Burfict. He had issues coming into the league. He's still a criminal. He's still bugging out. Go ahead.
I saw those replays. I was like, wow, this guy, man, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with him? I have no clue what's going on in his head, but that's just Bush League what he was doing that whole game. You can't do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Let's go to this other thing. And I'm going to ask you guys if this was right or wrong. Or it was an overreaction or what? Down in Tampa Bay, the director of player development, Isaiah Harris, I don't know if you guys heard about this, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was arrested on a misdemeanor DUI charge this morning. And he got arrested this morning, and he's already off the team. They dismissed him off the team. Your thoughts, Black? Talk to me about this guy. Player.
Hold on. Go back with that just a second. Let me get the folks a quick update. 7-0 New England, Tom Brady with a 62-yard touchdown pass to Shane Vereen. And I don't know what the Jets were doing, if they were eating popcorn or what was going on with that play, but the defense was hard for that.
Yep. Okay.
I know you're saying I got kicked off the team now. Which player is this?
No player. This is a guy. This is a director of player development, Isaiah Harris. This morning he was arrested on misdemeanor DUI charges, and it didn't take long. Whatever amount of time it took, they dismissed him. More or less, they fired him. Getting arrested for DUI this morning, and they fired him the same day. Your thoughts?
Wow, I wonder if Goodell had a hand in that, because I know he was supposed to be giving up some of his power. That's real quick.
Jeff, I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah. I guess it goes to show you, you know, teams are getting serious and they're holding executives and coaches to a high standard, not just the players. I think there should be some due process, but I don't. He probably was under contract, and it might have been in the contract that, you know, they could fire him, you know, without a conviction. I remember when Detroit was having that 0-16 season, one of their assistant coaches got busted for driving drunk and naked. I don't know why he was naked. But do you remember that? That was crazy. he gets pulled over, you know, wearing nothing, and he blew, you know, drunk on the breathalyzer, and that was pretty typical of that season. It cracks me up. You know, it's I don't know much about the guy in Tampa, but you know, he's got a good job. You know, you think he's a responsible grown up, and he messed up. He brought it on himself. You know.
Yep. All right. Speaking of being a responsible individual, I'm sorry, Black, but I got to bring this up too. Your backup running back from the Dallas Cowboys, riding a high, 5-1 in the league, kicked the Seattle Seahawks butt, world champions, in their house. And that night, I think that night or the morning, Joseph Randle, who didn't have a bad night, had a pretty decent night with the limited touches that he had, decides to go to a store and steal some underwear and guilty cologne. And for what I understand, he didn't want to wait to pay for it. Black, what the hell is that?
I wish I had an answer for you, but I truly don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it happened. I don't know if Jameis Winston was waiting for him outside. I'm not sure. I don't know what happened.
Talk to me, Jeff. Talk to me.
Yeah, this,
why
did this,
you do this?
Yeah, this guy should be ashamed of himself. I don't understand it. I just, it's one of these things that you just, I don't get. And, in some stadiums, the benches are pretty close to the stands. So, you know, fans are going to love heckling him when they're on the road or even at home sometimes, too, because now you got a lot of visiting fans coming to Dallas for the games. I this blows my mind. Like, you know, I thought of this a few weeks ago. It didn't come up on the show. Retired NBA player Rex Chapman just got busted for some big-time shoplifting. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't.
He was, look it up. Rex Chapman, I think he played in the NBA about 10 years, played with the Nets for a while. Don't know that much what he's been doing himself after his playing days, but he was running this, sounds somewhat sophisticated scam at AT&T stores, like to deceive them to think he had paid for iPhones or something like that, and then turning around and selling them. And he was doing it a lot and making a bunch of money, and he finally got busted for it. I don't know where, what the status is of that case. Talking about the Cowboys and their off-the-field troubles, the lawsuit against Jerry Jones got dismissed because a woman accused him of some improprieties, and that got dismissed. And I think, when you're rich and famous like Jerry Jones, people want to sue you even if they don't have a case, because I think you could still drag their name through the mud, and they just want to get a few bucks to shut up. So you got to be careful when you're somebody like him.
Yeah, Rex Chapman was arrested September 19th for allegedly shoplifting $14,000 worth of merchandise from an Apple store in Arizona and then selling the items at a pawn shop. And from what I'm seeing here, he entered himself into a 28-day substance abuse treatment program, and that was back in September 30th. I'm reading this article. So supposedly he's still in there, and the reason he's in there is because he has a reliance on Suboxone, a medicated prescribed to help patients stop using opioid based pain medication. So probably from his days of playing basketball, he's got chronic pain issues, and he needs something to get him through the day, which led him to something else to offset the medication he's taking for something else, which led to him doing the things he did, which led to him getting to the treatment center. So it's a snowball effect, and a lot of these guys have that issue from playing whatever pro sport they played, and they paid the price, and their body's telling them you got to do something, or you're going to feel what you've built up in your body over the years that you played. So, wow, I didn't know that, Jeff, until you told me that, and I looked it up. You never know about these guys. These guys make millions of dollars, okay? And before you know it, they're out of the league, and before you know it, those millions of dollars quickly going bye-bye if they don't have a plan B when they get out of the league. Anybody want to comment before we move on?
No, man. I remember Rex playing for my Bullets for a time there. I didn't know he was going through that. Wish him luck. You got to get off those substances.
All right. On a serious note here, I watched the Sunday night game, okay, with the Philadelphia Eagles with the New York Giants. And I'm not a Giant fan by any stretch of the imagination, not even close, not even close. But I have to say I had a feel for Victor Cruz when on a, it looked like a routine play, and he came down on a freakish way and tore his patella. I can't recall when you've seen one of the worst injuries in football, like Joe Theismann and breaking his leg, and I'm trying to think of the other player who had a break like that. But I've never seen a reaction from a pro athlete that I saw with Victor Cruz when he was absolutely Entree Rowe is having a hard time getting it out of his mind. He was screaming at the top of his lungs and sobbing tears of pain. I don't know if you want to comment on it, Jeff, but I'm going to go to you first, and then I'll go to Black.
Yeah, I don't know what I could add to it, but, it was a serious injury for Victor Cruz. It was the patellar tendon, not the ligaments. That's a more common injury. And, at first I didn't know whether he was just upset or he was in a lot of pain. I think it just happened when he was running, you know, or in the air. I don't think it was the way he fell down. It wasn't from contact.
That plant, you didn't see that last plant right before he took off and his leg went sideways?
I didn't see that, nah.
Look at his leg. It goes sideways. I can relate to that because I had that type of injury in junior high school. It was very, very, very painful.
Wow. How'd you get that injury in junior high?
Actually playing, you would never believe it, playing volleyball and then going right to playing basketball. Went up for a rebound and just came down wrong. And I had my leg going the direction that it wasn't supposed to go into.
God, a young kid, wow. You know, Cruz is one of the most popular players on the team. He's one of the best players, a little inconsistent. He's a captain now. He's from Paterson, New Jersey. You know, I mean, the first thing you hope, you know, he can recover, and you really don't care about, you know, if he can come back and play. But, you know, of course you'd like to see him come back. But it's such a serious injury. My gut feeling is he might not be ready beginning of next season. So who knows? Maybe he might be back in 2016. And, you know, he was holding out for money a couple of years ago. This is why, because, you know, your football career could end in one play. But, you know, hopefully he has an easy rehab, and hopefully he'll come back.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, like I said earlier about coaches, NFL coaches, they get paid millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. They make a nice salary to make smart decisions and put their players in the right position to get the best out of them. I'm reading an article here from ProFootballTalk.com about the special teams coordinator from the Ravens. His name is Jerry Rosberg. Says that, quite naturally, if you guys don't know this or not, but the Ravens are playing the Atlanta Falcons at home. And Ravens special teams coordinator Jerry Rosberg says that he as he prepares to face the Falcons and Devin Hester on Sunday, he's not planning to wave the white flag of surrender and kick high and short or out of bounds to avoid giving Devin Hester a chance to run the ball back. Instead, Rosberg says the Ravens will welcome the opportunity to compete with Hester and plan to contain him. His thought process is this: we have faced a lot of good returners this year already. When we played Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, we faced very good punt returners of that caliber and of that type. We have a lot of confidence in our punt game. We have good gunners, we have good punter, and we have good inside core guys. So we are going to do all we can to try to contain him with what we do. Now, didn't Devin Hester just break the record for running back kickoff returns, or punt returns, I should say, from Deion Sanders? And he's not done playing yet, and he still can do it on a consistent basis. Now, if you're going to challenge him and you put it in print, is that a smart thing to do from a coach? And I can understand a player coming out and saying something like that, that we're not afraid of him, we're going to punt him, and we're going to contain him. In essence, that's what he's saying. But a coach coming out and saying that 4 days before the game is about to come on, and you don't think somebody from the team is going to show Devin Hester that, or show the team that, one of the best returners of all time, and sure to probably go into the Hall of Fame as a returner. I don't get it. These guys, like I said, get paid hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to make good decisions and do the right thing. And this, to me, and it may sound trivial because I'm bringing it up, but this is not a smart thing to do. Give somebody an added incentive before the game. Black, your thoughts?
You know, sometimes kids say the darndest things. You remember that show with Bill Cosby? That's what you need to put some of these coaches on sometimes, because I don't know what they're thinking.
Jeff, what's your thoughts on what I just read?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I'm pretty sure John Harbaugh probably called him into the office, because most NFL coaches don't say things like that. And, I'm pretty sure I saw that Hester was limited in practice today. I'm not sure what his status is for Sunday. But, yeah, he said a little too much. But believe me, Hester doesn't need extra motivation because when he's healthy, he might be the best return man ever. So, you know, he doesn't need any motivation. But, you know, most coaches are just good at, you know, using a few words and saying very little. And that guy messed up a little bit.
All right. I'm purposely staying away from the game. I'm really not don't want to talk about this game. I'm talking about the Thursday night game. I may talk about it just before we go off the show, but I want to bring this up because this guy is one of my favorite basketball players, and he's going to be out for the first 6 to 8 weeks. Talking about Kevin Durant, who I think he fractured his foot or something like that, and it's going to be out the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. Your thoughts, Black? Big blow to the Thunder for this.
I'm not sure. Half of the country would tell you that Westbrook is going to hold everything down, so now's the chance to see it. But I'm definitely going to miss Durant. He's scheduled to come back, what, in December? I hope he has his fitness and things together when he gets back, because I think Westbrook is going to try to go all out now that he's out.
Yeah, supposedly, before I go to Jeff, he underwent successful surgery to repair a Jones fracture. I don't know what that exactly that is, in his right foot, and will be reevaluated in 6 weeks. So there's no guarantee after 6 weeks he's going to come back. It's just going to be a 6 to 8 week window. He's going to be reevaluated in 6 weeks. So talk to me, Jeff. Your thoughts? Big blow to the Thunder.
I heard that, and you know, I mean, obviously he's one of the biggest stars in the NBA, and the teams use star players like him to market, and the league uses star players like him to market. And, you know, I just hope, you know, he's back at full strength because, you know, fans pay to see guys like him, and it will be an opportunity for Westbrook to shoot more because, you know, they can't bring back James Harden. If he was still with them, you know, that guy could shoot like nobody's business. But, Durant is one of the great scorers in the NBA and very, very popular guy. And speaking of NBA, I don't usually start paying attention to NBA till after football's over. But did you guys hear that there was some talk about shortening the schedule?
Yeah, some players that wanted to shorten the schedule to 60 games or something like that. Is that what you're talking about, Jeff?
Yeah. I think 60 would be too few, but, you know, there's ways they could shave a few games off of the schedule. Believe me, if they could do it and get rid of back-to-back games, it'd be worth it. But the thing is, you know, these owners, they like to make money. That's why they're owners. That's how they made the money to become an owner. And you know, they don't want to lose, you know, home dates. They don't want to lose money. And players, I don't kind of think how their contracts work. If they shorten the schedule, I don't know if they have to give back a little money. It doesn't make sense, but it would be interesting, though, to shorten the schedule a little.
Staying in the NBA. I don't know if you guys heard this. But a Utah Jazz forward, Gordon Hayward, says he's better than LeBron. He tweeted out on Tuesday, and this is a quote from Gordon Hayward that he sent out on the on Twitter. One-on-one versus LeBron James, he would get crushed. We would all be witnesses to a straight-up annihilation. If I played King James one-on-one, I'd crush him. Jeff, talk to me. Gordon Hayward, what's this guy smoking in Utah?
Gordon who? I mean, come on. Was he joking? I mean, that's silly.
Jeff, I mean Black.
Yeah, I heard him talking about a video game, actually. I don't know if it was NBA 2K15 or not, but I heard him talking about the video game.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the what a League of Legends is?
That might be the only basketball game I'm familiar with is NBA 2K15. That might be another game. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm trying to look at it and see if it has to do with an NBA game. And from what I understand, and this is a full passage. One-on-one, like I said, versus LeBron James, he would get crushed. We would all be witnesses to a straight-up annihilation. The reigning MVP, Kevin Durant, I'm laughing out louding. Go ahead and put him with Russell Westbrook. Throw Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and Dwight Howard in there just for kicks. They still have no chance. Honestly, take any five NBA players you want and put them on the same squad. It really doesn't matter. I beat them all. It would be like playing a bunch of kindergartners. I repeat, I'm the best in the game and probably in all the major sports, too. No athlete on earth is as good at League of Legends. It has to be a game. To come off like that. And a lot of these guys play these video games, and some of them are pretty good at it. And I imagine this guy is probably pretty good at it himself. And decided to tweet on how good he is. So I have to take this guy. He's a – I just saw his stats on here. He's like 6'7", thin as hell. He's 6'8", probably a buck 50, maybe 200 pounds of that, and a small forward from Butler. Butler University, yeah. I don't know if you – I think you remember this guy, if I'm not mistaken, when Butler made a run for the title. But anyway, that's just another guy that's spouting off and saying – trying to make a name and put himself in there for 15 minutes. All right, we got about 7 minutes left in the show. And like Jeff had talked about that the Jets are already behind, and I don't know how far. The Jets scored now 7-3.
They're actually driving right now. They're on New England 23-yard line.
Okay. Like I said, usually these games, usually, not all the time, but usually these games, believe it or not, are pretty close. Because Rex is a pretty good game planner against Tom Brady, and for the most part, is able to hold them down. I think Tom Brady is like 6-0, 7-0 on Thursday Night Football. I know he has a winning record against the Jets, 6-2, something like that. That Tom Brady is—he's money. Let me put it that way. On Thursday Night, and I can't see the Jets winning this thing. Excuse me, winning this thing, especially with the quarterback play that they've had recently. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on not whether Geno Smith is the franchise player for the Jets, but who do you see out there coming out of next year's draft class that the Jets may be possibly looking at to get drafted on this team? Or if you want to go a different route, the $20 million under the cap, the strong possibility that Isaac, when Rex Ryan is booted out the door, gets a new coach, and it goes out looking for a quarterback. So if you think there's a quarterback in the league, just may go after, or in the power plant. I'll go to Jeff first, and then the Black.
I think the Jets might go in the direction of a veteran quarterback, you know, maybe Hoyer, he's not retired, but, few years back, they brought in Brett Favre because they might be tired of trying to develop young quarterbacks because it didn't work out well with Sanchez. It's not working out with Geno. I really think they would, try a veteran. I don't know. It's just the way I feel. But, Itzig didn't hire Rex, so I'm pretty sure if the Jets have another losing season, which they're well on their way to, Itzig's going to bring in his own guy.
Black.
The Jets won't be making any moves until you come back home. Once you're officially a fan again, all the dominoes will fall into place.
Yeah, that's not happening. Not anytime soon or anytime in the future. I've taken my allegiance and my talents to Houston in the state of Texas. That's it. It ain't happening. I'm not coming back. I'll look at a game, but I'm not coming back. Anyway, I sold my last piece of Jet gear, hooded jacket, on eBay last week, I think it was. So.
Wow, it's officially over.
I'm completely devoid of Jet. Trust me. We got a little bit more than three minutes left. One more thing, Black. It's not like I'm picking on you, but.
You pick on me every Thursday. It's all good. My Cowboys will take care of that, though.
Well, see, I'm not talking about your Cowboys. I dogged you out the first week when they looked pretty bad. And I have to admit that they are looking like a completely different team from years past. Completely different team from years past. All the naysayers and all the criticism that Jerry Jones has gotten over the years is paying off in that offensive line. What they got? Four first round draft picks out of that offensive line.
Three or four.
Yes, and it's paying off now. DeMarco Murray's having a career year so far in line to take. Eric Dickerson will come very close to Eric Dickerson's record, and also for a record amount of touches, especially carries, like over 450 carries, which is unheard of for a running back, especially for one that is have a tendency to be on the injury-prone type of side of the ball, I mean side of the fence. And his immediate backup, which is Joseph Randle, does a stupid thing like that. Now, Garrett said he's going to get fined heavily. There's a possibility, I don't know how much, that he could get suspended by the NFL, which is not a good move because this guy is in perfect position to take over if DeMarco goes down from an injury. And supposedly they're going to give him more touches to take the load off of DeMarco. So absolutely poor timing from what he did. Besides that, and me ranting for a minute or so, I'm going to pass it off to you guys, Jeff first, and then Black, and then I'll close this show out. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I've been pretty impressed with the Dallas Cowboys with the offensive line and the great running game with DeMarco Murray and improved defense. If I would almost bet that they're going to cut down on Murray's carries to, so he could try to play the whole season, which I don't think he's played a full NFL season yet. But, I hate to say it, but Cowboys look much better. It's old style football, good offensive line, running the ball, a little bit of defense. You can't go wrong with that.
All right, Black.
Oh, man, yes. We have a big matchup Sunday with Jeff's Giants, so hopefully we can be victorious again. Nothing against Jeff, that's my man, but his team coming into Dallas.
And speaking of coming into Dallas, Black, is it going to be a overflow of Giant fans, as in the past when a visiting team comes in there, or are the Dallas Cowboy fans going to actually show up and outnumber the home of the away team fans coming into the building?
I actually don't know, because the Ebola is running rampant in Dallas, apparently. So I don't even know if we'll have a lot of people in that stadium.
I hear you. All right. We come to the conclusion of this. I want to thank you guys for spending a little more than an hour with me talking about football, a little basketball. Tune in next week, people. Same time, same bat channel, where myself, Jeff the Joker, and Black Mike Wright will do the conversating about whatever we feel like it. So that's how we roll. Whatever comes up is what we talk about. Same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night. We're always here. On Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock, will be the FSP show, where I co-host with Victor, Mr. FSP, from 1 to 2:30. We talk about the matchups of the football season and who we like team-wise, winnings and losers. And then on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, join me and Lance NFL Exporter Goodman, where we talk about the fantasy relevance of every matchup in the NFL for that week. We talk about all the teams and all the players on that team that and any sleepers, some keepers, sleepers, things that players that we think are going to excel, players that we think that are not a good choice to put in the lineup. That's what we talk about from 10 a.m. until about it's an hour show, but usually we run about an hour and a half. So we put it all in there as much as we can. And then on Monday, 7 p.m., Lance comes back again on his own show, The Extra Point, before the Monday night game, to talk about what we did and our predictions on Sunday, and also the Monday night game, that he lays out his knowledge and his fantasy opinion on what's going to take place and who he likes or dislikes on Monday. With all that being said, come back here. We'll see you later. And we, as always, when I come up to this point, I say we are out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.